best advice usually comes from someone who actually does this stuff for a living? That's the idea behind Pet Talk, also known as the Pensacola Expert Panel, weekdays at 9.
Good morning, this is Pep Talk, Pensacola's Expert Panel with Meg.
Meg sits down with local business owners and professionals to talk real solutions, real experience, and real life questions. Pet Talk with Meg,
weekdays 9 to 11
on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss. I just want to remind everyone that the boardwalk project on Navarre Beach is not on the agenda today. There is no vote coming up today on that. There's no vote this week on that. I know there was some discussion online saying that there was a vote, so I just want everyone to understand that there's not.
About a year ago on September 11th, the board held a workshop to talk about several tourism-related items, including the boardwalk project. At that workshop, the board opted to remove any office space from the project, so it would just be a public amenity. Then a couple weeks later, on December 25th, the board authorized a task order to move forward designing the project with the specific scope that was discussed at that September 11th workshop. The task order was approved, so staff moved forward with the design firm to actually design the project. The design's been finished. The project's out for bid. The bids close on September 3rd. So there'll be no board action even necessary until after that, when a potential contract comes back for board consideration.
All right, so there'll be no discussion from the board about the project until the bids come back from contractors sometime after September 3rd.
But that will not stop a parade of people from Navarre Beach from explaining why they are opposed to this project. Those are the voices of Colton Wright and Jared Lowe, Colton Wright County Commissioner for District 4. That's the whole county, but it's really the Gulf Breeze area and Midway. And then Jared is the Assistant County Administrator. And at yesterday's committee meeting for Santa Rosa County Commission, which they had in the South End, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, at Tiger Point. And, you know, you can always tell by the – it looks different on the on the screen, but people were very, 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 very unhappy, the people who showed up anyway, about the proposed changes on Navarre Beach, what's been called the boardwalk and convention center, although I think that's a bit grandiose to call it a convention center, but the short version is that after all the iterations of what they might build, and this is if you know the beach, you know, and if you don't, I understand, but if you're driving out to the beach on the causeway, and you get to what is now the light, used to be the stop sign, you know, okay? And, you know, if you go to the right, you have lots of stuff, right? That's where the buildings and there's, you know, all kinds of stuff to the right. If you turn to the left, and actually if you go straight, you go into the kind of the parking lot for that area. If you go left, there's nothing for a while. It's like blank space. And then eventually past the parking lot, you get the pavilions, you know, where people can, you know, have lunch or whatever, and then there's, you know, you can get over onto the beach. Between those two zones, there's just a big old nothing. It's pure nature, essentially, except for there's some telephone poles, which kind of interrupt the view. But that's the space that they were talking about and that they have actually put out for bid now, a proposal to build essentially some amenities for folks. And the amenities, there was a conversation. Jared actually misspoke. It was not December 25th, if you heard him say that. It was September 25th as a follow-up. But last year, they talked about this, and it was a big conversation about whether to have the offices for the, you know, the vacation, the visit folks or not, you know, the TPO and those folks and, the you know, the tourism development folks. And they wound up saying no to that. And what they wound up approving was a facility that would have some restrooms, would have some space for some shops, small shops, and then would have, depending on how you count, 5,000 to 6,000 square foot. Again, event hall is a bit grandiose for that size, but, you know, something where you could do, like, wedding receptions maybe, or you could have, you know, host some small events with maybe, like, 15 or 20 round tables in it. And then in the front of that, you would have a space for, like, four food trucks to be, a, like, a food court and then a parking area. There had been an alternate design that had a parking structure, and that didn't go anywhere. Plus, those are super expensive to build. The price tag on this, I think, is supposed to be in the like $10, $12, $15 million range. You have to wait for the bids to come back before you can actually find out. They've already put several hundred thousand dollars of design work into it. And the people were just very, very, very unhappy about this proposal, which is already out to bid. The bids are going to come back, and then the board has to either approve the bids, or I suppose they could say, we're not going to take any action on these bids. And that's what people were there to talk about. Dave Jensen.
Today, I'm here to ask you to slow down the Navarre Beach Event Hall and Boardwalk project before the county creates a contractual obligation that the next board may immediately address.
I've been here for 32 years, and I'm here today to speak about the Navarre Beach Event Hall project. This property originally was set aside by both public recreation and conservation of Navarre Beach's natural scenery. We have something very special and unique here. I can count on one hand, maybe, the number of cities in the state of Florida that have anything as neat and pristine and natural beauty as we have at Navarre Beach.
And that's a lot of what people were getting at, is their preference to keep Navarre Beach as it is, which is highly developed in part and somewhat not developed in other parts. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. All lanes of Highway 87 at Highway 89 in Milton are blocked due to a down power line in the roadway. The lanes will be closed for an undetermined amount of time, so drivers should find an alternate route there. Also taking a look at the big board, we have a vehicle crash in Roblox, State Road 87 at Fox Glove Road in Milton. Use caution there. And have a traffic crash at Navarre Parkway at Orion Parker Boulevard. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So back to the public comments yesterday at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting, where this is not a voting item, but this is, you know, the meeting had come close to them, and so they decided to show up. And it had been in the news, you know, I mean, I think Channel 3 had done a story on it. It had been on social media. And as you may know by now, not everything on social media is 100% purely informative. It's motivational towards a certain outcome and therefore often misleading. But these folks showed up and they were angry. Most of them either live in Navarre. Or, I mean, I think all of them either live in Navarre or on the beach. I think a lot of them lived on the beach. Teresa Pack.
We ask y'all to please give this more thought, to think this through. Nobody on Navarre Beach that I know of is in favor of this plant.
And, you know, even pointing out, like, one person, Alex Fox, works with the Navarre Beach Sea Turtle Conservation and says...
So my question is, it's not simply can we build this, it's should we build it here? Ironically, you're proposing an education center about the environment by permanently altering some of the very environment we are supposed to be educating people to protect. This isn't a blank canvas. It's not a new venue for someone to host their weddings at. It's a habitat. It's a dune system. It's a place we have a responsibility to preserve. Thank you.
So they have a change.org petition. It's got about 4,000 signatures on it to oppose this. And here's the thing. Just a couple of, I don't know, perspective slash facts, if you want. I don't know whether all of these folks had seen the actual renderings, the design plans, the actual, here's what it's going to look like. Part of me wants to take for granted that they had, because you want to assume that everybody's done as much research as they can possibly do. Then again, I know people, and I'm not sure, because based on some of the comments, them saying that, you know, you're going to make Navarre Beach look like Destin or Fort Walton Beach or Pensacola Beach, which I, you know, Pensacola Beach, I think, is a lot different from Destin. But, you know, maybe Orange Beach is what you're thinking of. But in any case, they like the sort of pure nature. They like the, you know, you go there and there's very little there. And if they were proposing to make it look like Destin, I mean, I'd absolutely be against it, too. I think that's terrible. But the idea that there's going to be some giant Alvin's Island and a bunch of entertainment stuff out there, that's not what this is. It's actually, if you look at the renderings, it's very much in line with, like, the pavilions that are down the way and some of the facilities that are on the other side that are already in place. It's low impact to the sight line. Now, it's not going to be a natural vista anymore. I mean, right now, it basically looks like just a whole bunch of sand. In fact, it was kind of funny. I was thinking about this yesterday, that as many times as I've been out to Navarre Beach, when this topic came up, I was like, what's there right now? And I went to look, and I'm like, whoa. Well, that's why I don't remember it, because there's nothing there. It's just open. And, you know, of course, if you go into the seashore, there's lots of open space. It's not like this is the only place you can go see a completely untouched or almost completely untouched version of the beach. But, you know, you do go across the causeway and you see stuff on the right and you see stuff in the distance on the left and you don't see anything immediately on the left. But in my opinion, as a, not a resident of Navarre, not a resident of our beach, but just as a person who's, you know, sort of a, I live in Escambia County and I'd be a tourist going to Navarre Beach. I thought this was actually a really appropriate design. It's very low-key minimalism. It's sort of the open slat architecture, so it's wood. It looks like a beach structure. If you know what the pavilions look like, it looks just like those. And granted, it's larger, but it's not massive. It's not some monstrosity. It's, you know, meant to create some opportunities for people to small retail, again, food trucks, so people have places to eat because there are not a lot of places to eat out on that beach, to have a, you know, the they call it a convention or event space, and that's true. But again, if you look at the renderings, it's the kind of thing that, like, before the pavilions were built down the way, I could imagine these same arguments being made. Oh, you're going to ruin the natural beauty. We like to go down there and look at the sunrise. We, you know, we shouldn't be building walkovers over the beach. Why are you desecrating the beach mouse and all of this stuff? And the same exact arguments could have been made. Why are you putting a parking lot? You know, you're paving paradise and putting up a parking lot. Why are you doing this? And yet, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think that anybody who looks at the facilities to the east would think, well, that's just how it is. It's always been that way, and it's great. It's a great place to go. And then you've got, of course, you can snorkel out to the artificial reefs, and there's all kinds of stuff to do over in that vicinity. And this is very much in keeping with that. And I think that if you actually build it the way they intend to build it, in 5 years, nobody will think twice about it. It'll just look like it belongs. So I know people are very worked up. I think there's this, and there are arguments to be made about how we're going to be putting in a new bridge. Why are we building a thing that's not going to be in line with where that bridge lands? I get that. Some people argue that's not in line with the master plan for the area. I get that too. I'm not saying it's the best idea ever and, you know, you're dumb to oppose it. I'm not saying that. I think there's a lot to be said on both sides, and they're going to come back and have a conversation about this. I just want to make sure that people who are opposed to it are really talking about the thing they're actually intending to build. Because if you picture it becoming something like Destin, I understand why you'd be pissed off about that. But if you actually look at the renderings and the architecture and the plan and the size and the view, as somebody who loves natural beauty and loves the beach and open, undeveloped beach areas, I just didn't have a problem with it personally. 623 on News Radio 92.3, but feel free to disagree with me. That's why I'm here. 437-1620. We'll be talking more about this throughout the morning, so you can feel free to weigh in. If you lock your keys inside your car, you can call Ace Unlocks. They've been helping people get into their cars for, you know, what, like 25 years? They started this back at UWF in the late 90s, even more than that. And the idea was, you know, they had a flip phone and they had an 89 4Runner and a Mustang and a pager and a payphone and not even a flip phone back then. But they would, somebody would page them. They'd go let them into their car. Now, over time, they have become a different thing. They still do that, by the way. And they do it very cheap for UWF students, by the way, just kind of as a public service. But they do fobs is the biggest part of what they do now, cutting keys and making fobs. So if you've, you know, damaged yours, washed it, swim with it, stepped on it, lost it, didn't come with two and you want to have two, whatever the case may be, they cut keys for people all the time. Like, I had a fob made by them for my Civic, and it was fantastic, and it was, you know, much less than going to the dealership. So second keys, whatever the case may be, they have all the same technology that the dealership has for those laser keys. No big deal. They do residential rekeying, installing locks, keypad locks, app-based locks. Businesses, even if you work on your car and do, like, the car control modules, they can program those just like the dealership would. So that's a very niche kind of service that they offer for, again, a lot less money than the dealership offers based on your VIN specifically. So go if you need them or call 24 hours a day, 505-7545 for Ace Unlocks. They're located, Ace Unlocks are located at airport and the railroad tracks. Tell them Andrew McKay and get 10% off whatever you wind up buying. 625 here on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. All lanes of Highway 87 at Highway 89 in Milton are blocked due to a down power line in the roadway. That's the area where Ritchie's Service Center and Dollar General and Fleet Avenue all meet up, so just be aware of that. The lanes will be closed for an undetermined amount of time. Drivers should find an alternate route. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. The Subaru Lot to Love event is going on now at Anderson Subaru, which brings special summer savings to some of our most in-demand Subaru models, Ascent, Outback, and Crosstrek. Right now, get 0.9% financing for 75 months on Ascent models with flexible seating for up to 8 passengers. Or how about 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the completely redesigned Outback? That's 75-month financing on Ascent and Outbacks. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 72 months on the versatile Subaru Crosstrek. Low rates and long terms on the most reliable and most loved cars around. Discover new places to love during the Subaru A Lot to Love event. Going on now through August 31st at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Service has always been a part of who I am. First in the Air Force, now helping families across Pensacola make one of the biggest decisions of their lives. Whether you're buying your first home, selling your current one, or relocating to our beautiful Gulf Coast, my team is here to help guide you every step of the way. I'm Wayne Peacock with the Peacock Group at Levin Rinke Realty, and if you're thinking about buying or selling, let's make your next move your best move. Visit us at peacockgroup.info. Again, that's peacockgroup.info.
Tune in tomorrow at 9:30 as Ray Palmer with Pensacola Sports will be the guest on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Pensacola Sports focus has and always will be on education, inspiration, and participation in various team, individual, amateur, and professional sports activities. What events are coming up on the calendar? Tune in tomorrow at 9:30 as Pensacola Sports will be discussing those upcoming events on the calendar.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
I'd rather walk on my lips than to criticize anybody. But Janice Van Meter.
I know.
I bet you money she's paid $500 for that dress and don't even bother to wear a girdle.
Looks like two pigs fighting under a blanket.
Well, I haven't left the house without Lycra on these thighs since I was 14.
You were brought up right.
What a great song. You remember when music was just simpler, when it was cleaner, when it wasn't, you know, auto-tuned and synthesized and overproduced? And, you know, one of the things that we watch America's Got Talent, and, you know, though I'm not a particularly big fan of Simon Cowell, I will say he does add things every once in a while that are very interesting. And one of the things he sometimes does to the people who sing is they come in and they do a performance where they've got all this production behind them, and he will sometimes say, like, you know, just take that out and sing me the song, you know, like, which is true, because that's how you find out if they have a great talent. But also, you know, sometimes often less is more. It's not a motto I live by, but it's a motto that a lot of people do. And of course, Dolly Parton passing away at the age of 80 yesterday was huge news, a big shock to a lot of people, myself included. And, you know, what a fixture and an icon and a philanthropist and a delightful laugh and a good charitable person, in addition to being, of course, a wonderful actress and obviously a tremendous singer. 25 number one hits. That's amazing. Steve is in the newsroom with a headline for us. Steve?
President Trump says the Strait of Hormuz has been cleared of all mines, warning any vessel attempting to lay new mines will be destroyed. We'll hear more on that story in just a few seconds on Fox News, right here on News Radio 92.3.
All right, Steve, thanks for the update. Also, he's now threatening to demolish the entire Kennedy Center if the renovations, which he says are essential, are not authorized. You can either remake it in my image or I'll just tear the whole thing down, I guess, is what he's saying.
Fox News, I'm Gianna Gelosi. Country music legend Dolly Parton died Tuesday at the age of 80 after a brief battle with cancer. She was a lifelong entertainer, singer, songwriter, philanthropist, and icon with an outsized personality matched only by her outfits and big hair. The late singer's nephew and head of security, Brian Seaver, in a video message.
Dolly called me and said she wants to rest in a beautiful bed of plush cotton because after a life wearing heavy rhinestones, she finally deserves to be comfortable and have some rest.
President Trump has ordered flags to be flown at half staff for a week. Senator Darlene Graham won the Republican nomination to replace her late brother, Lindsey Graham, on South Carolina's general election ballot. She's going to face Democrat Annie Andrews in November. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 right now, 78 degrees with a nice sunrise. I'm Steve Taylor in for David Wayne on News Radio 92.3. Visit Pensacola says tourism remains strong through the spring and also the early summer despite some challenges in some markets. Nicole Stacy with Visit Pensacola says the organization is closely watching the Canadian snowbird market as Pensacola attempts to remain steady. She says tourism development tax collections increased 7.6% from April through June compared with the same period last year, and the efforts by behind our tourist-friendly events is keeping those numbers climbing.
We like to participate with the Perdido Key Chamber. They do their hoot nannies out on the key. The Santa Rosa Island Authority and the Pensacola Beach Chamber, they always do their Snowbird Beach Bash. We will fully participate in that. And then as a whole, Visit Pensacola, we love to do our Winter Escape Savings Card. And that's an opportunity for our local businesses to get involved and offer any kind of deal that they would like, whether it be buy one, get one, or a free appetizer, or a free entry to one of our museums.
Visit Pensacola targets key markets across the Southeast, along with cities with direct flights to Pensacola, including Denver. She says the organization uses visitor and spending data to adjust its marketing approach. Long-awaited cleanup is coming to Pensacola's Sanders Beach neighborhood. The EPA says final work on the American Creosote Works Superfund site starts in December. Project manager Pete Thorpe told Channel 3 the crews are going to dig up contaminated soil yard by yard, backfill it, and either haul it away to the county landfill or cap it on the old property.
We've got a future residential cleanup of all the yards surrounding the site. A contractor has been selected, and that work will probably start in December of this year, and it will probably last about 6 months, where we go through the neighborhood and clean up it yard by yard, where we clean up the contaminated soil, backfill it, and leave it the way we found it.
Thorpe's overseen that project for about 15 years. $95 million is secured for the work. A $100,000 donation from Sandy Sansing Dealerships will support local families facing childhood cancer and fund research through the Rally Foundation for Childhood Cancer Research Gulf Coast. During yesterday's presentation in Pensacola, Rally Development Manager Jessica Sidario told News Radio,
"Twice a week, we provide meals to families who are outpatient or also on the oncology floor with their children, because often we find that families forget to eat, and also it's extremely expensive when you're at the hospital and you're purchasing food every day. So we bring them a nutritious and comforting meal that's supplied by many of our local restaurants and donors.
The donation will help provide family assistance while supporting research aimed at developing safer, more effective treatments for children with cancer. Let's check the forecast for Channel 3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We do have a 40% chance of those pop-up showers and thunderstorms today. Temperatures near 91 degrees for your high, overnight dropping near 77. For Thursday, 70% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 89. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Going into Friday, 50% chance of those showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees, and Friday night temperatures dropping near 74. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Right now, 78 degrees at Pensacola, 79 79 in Gulf Breeze and 76 degrees in Milton at 635. Right now, we're going to check in with PJ for traffic on the 5.
There is a vehicle crash in Roblox, State Road 87 at Foxglove Lane in Milton. Use caution through that area. Also want to let you know that all lanes of Highway 87 at Highway 89 in Milton are blocked due to a downed power line in the roadway. That's right near Dollar General and Ritchie's Service Center, just for reference. The lanes will be closed for an undetermined amount of time. Driver should find an alternate route. I'm PJ with the traffic on the 5s.
Thanks, PJ. Right now, I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Federal Reserve's favorite measure of inflation likely decelerated in July as a temporary dip in gasoline prices provided some relief to household budgets. The Personal Consumption Expenditures Price Index is expected to show that inflation rose 3.6% over 12 months in July. That's according to economists surveyed by Dow Jones. Oil prices are lower this morning by more than 2% as investors hope a deal to reopen the Strait of Hormuz is close and as the U.S. pivots to economic pressure on Iran. West Texas Intermediate at $80 a barrel, Brent at $86. Boeing said the company has won a new contract this week from the U.S. Air Force to support F-15 production in St. Louis, Missouri. The contract is valued at up to $131 billion. The contract covers aircraft production, systems integration, and more. Futures are slightly lower ahead of inflation data later this morning. That's Your Money Now.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text SPARK to 215215 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text SPARK to 215215. That's SPARK to 215215.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Woo! Summer's heating up and we're smoking at Sonny's. Our new summer menu is hot and your favorite barbecue bowls, they're back. How about our new cherry cola pork burnt ends, some brisket mac and cheese or slider trio, and finish your meal off with some cherry cobbler egg rolls. With 4 locations in the News Radio area, we look forward to slathering you with Southern hospitality. If it's smoking out back, it's Sonny's out front. Don't forget to download your Sonny's barbecue app for sizzling summer deals and rewards. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Hi, I'm Tom DeFranco, and I've got gas. Not that kind of gas. The kind that makes tankless water heaters, gas grills, and fireplaces, gas heater systems possible. We are DeFranco Gas. We've been servicing gas-powered business and home needs for over 38 years. DeFranco Gas can service your gas fire pits and keep your gas generator storm ready. DeFranco Gas is your local gas service provider and a member of the Better Business Bureau. DeFranco Gas, all things gas, DeFrancoGas.com.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know that feeling when a headline sounds big,
but nobody explains what it actually means for your day?
That's where Andrew McKay comes in.
News Radio 92.3, I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News.
Pensacola Morning News helps you understand what happened overnight, what's happening here at home, and why it matters before the rest of the day even gets started.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 a.m.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620.
Informative, local, dependable.
Proposed location of this building complex is the last open view of the dunes and beach as you come into Navarre Beach from over the causeway. It's the last one. If you build this complex, you will ruin the last open view and one of the main reasons hundreds of thousands of visitors have voted for Navarre Beach.
That's Rick Dillon, who was speaking at the Santa Rosa County Commission committee meeting yesterday. That's kind of like their agenda review coming up for the regular meeting that's tomorrow. The boardwalk and event space and food truck court and small retail is and restrooms is not on the agenda for Thursday, but people got worked up on social media, and the people that showed up were very opposed to this, and they came and they expressed that opposition repeatedly. And, you know, so let's talk about it a little bit. The thing is out to bid. Like, we've already sunk maybe almost $1 million into the design of this thing. And, you know, it's going to cost, well, I'll ask Brad Baker about that. But, you know, it's out to bid right now. So, you know, we're way, way, way down the road on this project. It's not that they can't say no, but we're well committed to this project at this point. Brad Baker, he's the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Hey, great to have you. So, Brad, why do y'all want to ruin Navarre Beach? I mean, what gives, man?
Well, I think it's an interesting topic, and I understand that people are passionate about it. It's not a new topic, and we've went through many discussions, board meetings, TDC meetings to get us to where we are now, which is a document that's out for bid after many modifications. We did bid it in multiple phases, so you know the board could choose which options they did want to go to because there was so much conversation about it when we put, you know, we're going through the design on it.
Okay, so the event space could be separated off if they wanted to. The food truck court could be separated off. Parking lot probably a commitment. I mean, the project's got to have a parking lot. Doesn't make sense without one, right?
Restrooms, right?
Yeah.
Parking and restrooms are kind of combined because, you know, there's several of the folks who were there yesterday have been asking us for parking out on the beach, so... And if you go, I mean, there's no way. Well, there is a way. You can do a parking garage, which nobody wants either. So,
right. Talk about ruining the vista, way, right? And the expense.
If you don't go, right. Very expensive endeavor. But if you don't go up and you want to add parking to the beach, then you have to go somewhere that there's a vacant space to put that parking.
Right.
So, you know, we're limited on going west toward Pensacola Beach on what we could do with parking. You know, we've made some improvements to our parking areas that are on the very numerous walkovers along the Navarre Beach, so
right,
people can access that beach. So
the public accesses. Okay, right.
Yeah.
So
which
so,
this component has as well, by the way.
Right. There's going to be a new access. There's going to be a new walkover. You know, there's, you know, boardwalk on the one side, and then on the backside towards the Gulf, there would be a walkover, among other things. What is the? Do I have it right? It's not quite $1 million so far into design for the two pieces. What's the anticipated? Go ahead.
If I remember right, we're about $300,000.
Oh, okay.
So far.
I got you. And yeah. So the rest of the design would be the finalization of the project. Is that right? Because I have.
Yeah, and then, you know, it could come anywhere from, you know, a variety of estimates, $6 to $10 million.
Okay, so the upper limit is around 10 for everything if they decide to go forward with everything, you think?
Yeah, because we scaled it back.
Okay.
There were some other on the original designs. There were some other, and I'll double check with Sabrina, but I'm just thinking it's in the $300,000 we spent so far.
Okay. I got a note from I had asked Sarah for some information yesterday, and she said that the design for the parking lot and restrooms by Dewberry was $106,000, and the design for the boardwalk and event hall by Stoa was $716,000. That's where I had my number from.
I may have been on the parking lot. So.
Sure. But $6 to $10 million-ish for the completion of the project. And this is one of the main things I always want to make sure people are informed. The money that is going to do this project is 100%, you correct me if I'm wrong, TDT money. That's money that you could not use to do, for example, a road or a drainage project somewhere else. It has to be tourism related. Am I right about that?
That is the conversation I've been involved with. Obviously, it's a board decision on that action, but you are correct. Tourist development dollars, because we generate less than $10 million, and that's what people don't understand. The state puts all these these hindrance upon local government. If we generated more than $10 million, this discussion probably would never happen because we would be investing it in public safety, infrastructure, all that along that area, but we can't. The only public safety, and this was just approved last year with legislative changes, we can fund the lifeguards, which we do out of that money. So other than that, you know, I know there's a lot of talk about what it looked like, but it truly is an event center that size for something out there. You know, whether you could do training events or mini conferences, we even had the one of the hoteliers out there say, you know, this is because we didn't want to interfere with their space. And it would be a compliment to them. They could bring in more conferences and all and use this space to align with their space. So, I mean, it wasn't just a willy-nilly that we come up with. We've had many meetings and discussions about this. But it is tourist development dollars. And I know everybody was saying yesterday, spend it on other things. Well, unfortunately, we can't. We petition the state every year since I've been in administration and before that to amend that, to allow us to use that money. I mean, we can't even pay the sheriff's deputies out on the beach that are there during, you know, we have a division that when school resources officers are out, they go down to the beach or they go to the Marine. You know, we can't even pay them with it.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that, to my understanding, as you know, having watched this conversation over the years, is we have this money. It has to be used for very specific things because of the constraints on its uses, because it comes from bed tax money. What can we do with it that people will benefit from, that they will enjoy? Well, here's something that we can do. And, you know, we go through this process, and now at the sort of 11th hour, people are very, very opposed to it. We'll come back to this in just a second because I have a quick follow-up on this as well. We're talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash at Ryan Parker Boulevard and Navarre Parkway. They're saying the roadway is blocked and may be so for a while. That's just east of the Navarre Beach Causeway. Use caution. I'm PJ with the traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, just one quick thing is the bids are out now. They're going to come back in early September. I think maybe September 4th is what I heard. I could be wrong, but there's going to be a follow-up meeting where the commissioners look at the bids and decide how much of the project, if at all, they want to do, right? So there is still a chance that the public can give input, and even Commissioner Wright said, I think we should probably have a discussion about this, kind of have a workshop about this. So that's still coming, right? The decision is not finalized yet, although we have already sunk a fair bit of money into this, right?
Yeah, that's correct. I mean, the board could reject all the bids.
Yeah.
So it depends on how many bids come in and the time it takes us to go through them. It is September 3rd. You know, so there'll be no way that it'll be on the first agenda in September, but it could be that second one or the October one, depending on how long it takes and how many bids come in.
Got it. Very good. All right. Well, you know, there's a lot still to be said. I mean, I'll be talking about this morning because I think people care about it. But, you know, frankly, my short take was I thought, look, I can understand why if we were going to put an Alvin's Island out there, you know, I mean, I get it. People would be upset about that. But it's not that. It's very much in keeping with the design of the structures that are already there, including the pavilions down the way and the stuff on that already exists for the public that, you know, leads into the pier. So I was frankly surprised at the level of hostility to it because, I thought it was a nice idea. And, you know, since you can only use this money for certain things, here's something that you can do with it. Other stuff, you guys talked about the Legacy Lands Project, if I remember correctly. Out of the dozens of applications to have land rights basically downgraded to protect the land in perpetuity, you have three projects that are kind of have made the cut from the board that evaluated these things, and they're kind of in the moving forward phase?
Well, there are, I believe, 46 projects. So it was kind of twofold yesterday. The first one is we don't have enough money set aside to really make a significant dent. However, there's a lot of money being given out by the state of Florida and some by the federal government through the rural and family lands that if you have a local match, it really bumps you up the list. And there's been a lot of funding in primarily central Florida with the cattle ranchers or the big ones, very little row crop. But we are working on one now that we had offered a pledge to. It got prioritized and then got funded by 100% through NRCS, and they're working that now, pretty big farm in North Santa Rosa County. So The intent, the initial intent, is to send this whole list to Rural and Family Lands with a support letter from the commission to say this is the submitted applications to our county. This is the prioritization through the ranking that we approved in the legacy lands. Please, we have local maps that could go to this. Please prioritize these higher.
Okay.
Then the second phase was, you know, Commissioner Rao was wanting to show that we can be successful in this and help the people understand that it's a viable program. Let's take some small chunks that we might could do an easement over for $500,000 or less. So the next step is let's go get an appraisal, see what that looks like so we can determine how many acres we could purchase with that amount of money.
Okay. Oh, see, that makes sense to me. I did not realize there was the second part of it. I knew about the part you just said about looking for the easement, the cost, you know, how much would it take for these other projects. But basically, you've created a framework so that you can create more robust applications that are likely to get the attention of Rural and Family Lands so that they can come in and help. And, you know, with the incentive that, hey, we have money to pitch in if we need to, we'd rather not have to because you have a lot more money. But that you're basically working through the process of finding the money that's available to do some of this stuff. That's, you know, that's great. I love to hear that. The utility easement and the work at Milton Interchange part, I will tell you, Santa Rosa County, and you don't know anything, I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, but I mean, Shannon Ogletree and his folks are just killing it. You know, frankly, I live in Escambia County and I wish we could, you know, compete, you know, a little bit better, in this regard. But where are we at on this and what will it mean for the city of, for the folks in the vicinity of Milton and for Santa Rosa County?
Well, we're moving forward with that, and this item that was on there was to get the underground power, give the easement to FPL and move that forward, get them to install that electrical line. And then they're already doing groundwork out there, digging the basin to dispose of the starting the structural build of the cells itself. You know, we pre-ordered the equipment knowing that we were on a timeline due to the issues with the city of Milton and their capacity. So,
yeah.
You know, we're moving forward, and hopefully by the middle of summer, we've got something that we can flush some toilets for some economic development opportunities that are coming there, not only in the interchange park, but in the park just south of there, too. You know, we do have those hooked up to the city of Milton, and we had reserved some capacity for growth, but what is coming and projected to be up by the summer or fall of next year will exceed that capacity the city of Milton has. So we have to have a plan. And then obviously,
so just to make sure people know, so this is running power sources essentially to the wastewater treatment plant that you guys are building to support business in the two industrial parks off of 87. And this will make that happen, especially because with the stuff that's going on with Milton, and they're going to need a lot of their capacity for all the housing and everything else. Is that basically right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And then we will have some capacity for that area along Highway 87 and some residential out there. Obviously, our priority is economic development, but
right.
We factored all of the lots that we have, all of the other, you know, there is some economic or industrial property out there that the county doesn't own. We factored in kind of the maximum capacity, what could happen on those. And then anything additional, we'll look to enhance it because that is, area is surrounded by water. You have Blackwater Bay, you have Yellow River, you have Blackwater River. So anything we can do to get people off of septic tanks is a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. Last thing briefly, because we only got about a minute left, but the RIBS project for effluent disposal on Eguilin for treated effluent that's coming out of the Midway Navarre area. This is where are we at? This almost done?
Yeah, we've got, went through the bid process. We have a contractor to start the kickoff of laying the pipe under the sound, which is going to be a big project. And then ultimately that's to get the effluent from Navarre Beach up to the Eglin's Rib, the rapid infiltration basin, in partnership with High Navarre Water, Midway, Gulf Breeze, et cetera, so that we can ultimately reuse water that is needed in the peninsula, but also get it out of the intercoastal waterway. So a really cool environmental project out there. I mean, ultimately, I'd like to get the wastewater treatment plant off the barrier island because, you know, I have a thought about barrier islands, but
Yeah, almost like we shouldn't have built there in the first place. Some thought along those lines.
From my emergency management day.
Yeah, you've seen enough of the build, destroy, rebuild, destroy, rebuild, I'm sure, in your days.
Yeah.
Brad Baker, he's a Santa Rosa County Administrator. As always, Brad, thanks for the good information. Thanks for running the county, doing the job that's fairly difficult to do to oversee all of the things. But I appreciate the time, sir. We'll talk to you again. And again, the meeting is Thursday, but we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew.
You bet. 655 PJ has traffic on the fives.
Thanks, Andrew. One southbound lane and one northbound lane of Highway 87 at Highway 89 in Milton have reopened after being blocked due to a downed power line. That's the area right next to Ritchie's Service Center and Dollar General, so just be aware of that. Drivers should expect delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
So you hear Dave Ramsey talking about Frontier Motors. You hear me talking about Frontier Motors. I mean, heck, so many folks here at the station have bought Frontier that, you know, we can all talk about it. But you might think, well, that's just a couple of people on the radio. Okay, so here's my challenge to you. When you're driving around today, I just want you to keep your peepers peeled and look for somebody that's got a bumper sticker or a license. And it's a small. It's like, you know, a couple of inches and like 2x4 or something like that. But the Frontier Motors little bumper sticker logo or the license plate frame that says Frontier Motors. And here's what'll happen. You're driving around today and you might see one, maybe two, okay, you know, at a light or something. And then tomorrow, because, you know, you're paying attention, you might see three or four. And probably by Friday or the weekend, you'll be like, oh, they're everywhere. Did anybody buy a car from anywhere else? And my only reason for bringing that up is that's evidence of all the satisfied customers that Frontier has, is people who thought, you know, hey, they were good enough. I'm going to keep this on my car and I'm going to, you know, promote them to everybody else, because they have sold a lot of cars. They sell about 150 to 200 cars a month. So you do the math on that, and that's a couple thousand cars a year for the last 29 years. That's a lot of people that have bought not just once, but more than once from Frontier Motors. So treat that as a recommendation, a testimonial as well. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for 29 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
In a world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand, and we have your back. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Tommy Pump fires it down the middle for Deuce. Caught at the 20, 15, 10, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Touchdown, Florida State. Touchdown, FSU.
Florida State begins the college football season Saturday by hosting New Mexico State in Tallahassee on the Seminole Sports Network, presented by Wolfson Children's Hospital.
FSU versus New Mexico State, Saturday, 4 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Brought to you by Pensacola Hardware.
The Pensacola Expert Panel welcomes Florida West EDA's Chris Plotte today at 9:30. Florida West is our community's economic development organization with a mission of building, growing, and sustaining economic potential and prosperity. They leverage our military strength, partner with existing businesses to drive expansion, invest in technology and talent development to spur innovation and better jobs, and so much more. Don't miss the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 with Florida West EDA.
Hi, this is Jeff Culhane, voice of the Florida State Seminoles. This is News Radio 92.3, your home for the Noles. Informative, local, dependable.
Well, I always just thought if you see somebody without a smile, give them yours.
Why'd you come in here looking like that in your cowboy boots and your painted on jeans, all decked out like a cowboy's dream? Why'd you come in?
Yeah, we don't play a lot of country on News Radio 92.3 during the Pensacola Morning News, but when an absolute American icon, one of the most beloved people in the country, maybe the last American that everybody loved, Dolly Parton, died yesterday at 80. Man, what a loss. Steve's in the newsroom with a headline for us. Steve?
Well, Taylor Swift is remembering country music legend Dolly Parton following her death yesterday. Swift called Parton's passing difficult to imagine while praising her generosity and the countless lives that she touched through her music and philanthropy. And that's what's happening.
Absolutely. Absolutely true. 6:59 on News Radio 92.3. We'll talk a little bit more about the Navarre Boardwalk proposal coming up. Renaming Lake Ontario for Lake America. I'm not kidding. There's nothing you can say that's not an exaggeration or a joke, because you don't know what's within the realm of possibility.
Local Talk in the morning, 5 to 9.